Everyone, welcome. I'd like to welcome the Vice President of the European Commission, who is here to speak to us about the European semester and deepening of the MEU. This is a joint meeting with the COFMA, who is being represented here today through the Vice President, Patrick Pereira, by the Labour Committee, Vice President Wanda Guimarães, and the eventual committee, which is following the Financial Framework 2020 by the Member of Parliament, João Paulo Correia, who is the President of this committee. And so all parliamentary groups are present. That is, five groups are present at this hearing. And we will be listening to our commissioner for 15 minutes, and then each parliamentary group has five minutes, so that the commissioner has at the end the possibility to have to have 15 minutes and answer your questions. And I also would like to welcome Mrs. Sofia, represented the European Commission in Lisbon. And so let's start our hearing. And there is simultaneous translation, so there's no need for us to, let's say, to use English, because there is simultaneous interpretation. Commissioner, thank you very much, and welcome to the House of Democracy. You have the floor.
Madam Chair, honorable members of Parliament. Well, it's a pleasure to come here to Portuguese Parliament to discuss European semester and our proposals to deepen the economic and monetary union. Over the coming months, we'll be moving to the next phase of European semester and push for progress on some key files on completing the economic and monetary union, and national parliaments will have a key role to play. So let me start with European and Portuguese economic developments. So European economy is in a sixth year of economic growth, and all EU member states are now expanding. Our economic performance has surpassed expectations last year and continues to gather pace. The momentum in the global economy remains strong as broad-based cyclical upswing continues with favorable financial conditions and favorable macroeconomic and fiscal policy mix. It has been a year since my last visit to this house, and in meantime, as recommended by the European Commission in May last year, the excessive deficit procedure for Portugal was closed, confirming that your deficit has been falling below 3% of GDP reference value. European Commission is going to reassess Portuguese compliance with the Stability and Growth Pact in spring, taking into account 2017 outturn figures as validated by Eurostat in April and upcoming 2018 Stability Programme. The latest forecast for Portugal show strong growth and also strong employment performance. However, we see that economic growth is gradually slowing down, so our winter forecast expects or estimates last year's growth at 2.7%, this year 2.2%, and next year 1.9% growth. So all in all, we see positive tendencies in Portuguese economy and also balances being imbalances being addressed. However, a certain challenges to the country's potential growth remain. In particular, investment remains among lowest in the EU, with 15% of GDP in 2017. Therefore, decreasing barriers to investment should remain a priority. Labour market has seen impressive recovery in terms of employment growth, although important challenges also remain there, especially as regards youth unemployment and long-term unemployment. Commission's assessment, as I said, is overall positive, and we should use this window of opportunity in Portugal, but also in Europe, to make our economies more competitive, resilient, and innovative. So, talking about the European semester, as you know, it has become main tool for coordinating economic policies across Europe. It already has visibly contributed to delivery of reforms in the member states. And we see that also awareness and involvement of national parliaments in European semester has increased throughout these years. And we think it's very important that there is national ownership and democratic legitimacy of the semester process, because it also then helps to foster reform implementation. So, and also when from European Commission side we do European semester visits, whenever possible we try to speak with national parliaments, so also today's visit is in the same spirit of continued efforts to strengthen the dialogue with national parliaments on economic governance. Last November, Commission adopted its annual growth survey, setting out Europe's economic policy priorities, basically reconfirming the three priorities of facilitating investment, structural reforms to modernize our economies, and responsible fiscal policies. But for the last 2 years, we have a stronger focus on social fairness and more inclusive growth. As regards the current stage of European semester, we are now finalizing country reports and we will publish them on 7th of March, and in May we will issue country-specific recommendations and reassess countries' fiscal performance. Through the in-depth review, the country report highlights the positive trend in terms of reducing macroeconomic imbalances in Portugal. It is particularly true in the case of rapidly falling unemployment and employment growth. Financial sector risks have also been reduced, together with decreasing private debt. Our report will also assess progress in addressing country-specific recommendations, 2017 country-specific recommendations. Overall, we see that progress in addressing those recommendations has improved. And the report recognizes efforts in terms, for example, of labour market and private indebtedness, areas where challenges posed to Portugal were also significant. So our overall assessment is that Portugal has made some progress in implementing country-specific recommendations, and I would say we have this scale of no progress, limited progress, some progress, substantial progress, and full implementation. And I would say it's more or less in line what we see in most European countries, where we see between limited and some progress. Now, let me move to the second topic of my address on deepening the economic and monetary union. We believe that strong and effective economic and monetary union is key element of future stability and growth in European Union. Yesterday I had a citizens' dialogue together with Minister Centeno, and we actually saw lots of interest in this topic also from a broader public. And indeed we are now in a crucial stage of this work, because European Council of June will be an important moment where we hope decisions will be taken, and we are thankful for Portugal's vocal and clear support on in this area. Completing the banking union is a first immediate priority, together with achieving true capital markets union. So the idea is that this way we increase risk sharing via private channels. We can make progress with some of the proposals already on table, for example, on European Deposit Insurance Scheme. Last October, we put forward some ideas how to try to unblock this discussion by introducing European Deposit Insurance Scheme in a more gradual manner. But EMU deepening should be seen in a comprehensive way with a view of both private and public mechanisms, tackling risk reduction and risk sharing in parallel, strengthening the resilience, but also strengthening our crisis management tools. We have outlined proposals on key issues last December, and currently we are exploring how EU budget can be used to facilitate reform implementation, in particular through what we call reform delivery tool and technical support at the request of member states. We also need to reinforce a toolbox to deal with an asymmetric economic shocks if they happen. And in this regard, we are now working on a proposal for European Investment Protection Scheme, basically to ensure that euro area has its fiscal stabilization function. And we appreciate the fact that Portugal supports this idea of macroeconomic stabilization to improve the capacity of euro area to counter economic shocks. Also, we propose to build on the success of European Stability Mechanism by turning it into European Monetary Fund, which could also provide common backstop for a single resolution fund. So, some of those proposals are already on the table, and some of concrete legislative proposals will come together with accompanying our proposal of next multi-annual financial framework, so post-2020 financial framework. On this, certainly, I would be also interested to hear your views, how you see this process and priorities as regards deepening of EMU. Another important work strand in coming months is continued emphasis on non-performing loans. This is obviously a focus point also in Portugal. According to ECB data, the NPL ratio dropped from 79% in June 2016 to 15.5% in June 2017. So we see clear progress, but we still see NPL ratio in Portugal substantially above EU average. So there is still work to do as a weak asset quality in the banking sector remains in risk. For the EU as a whole, our progress report on non-performing loans showed that over the last 3 years, the share of non-performing loans has been reduced by one-third, which corresponds to around 300 billion euros. And we see that those countries, which initially had high NPLs ratios, are actually bringing them down quite substantially. And now we have NPL ratio on average in EU at 4.4%. From the Commission side, we will continue to prioritize this work on NPLs, and next month we will present a package of proposals focusing on several areas. First, to ensure that banks put sufficient means aside to cover losses if new loans become non-performing, tackling delays in debt recovery, opening up secondary markets, and clarifying with a blueprint how countries can set up national asset management companies if they so decide. So, honourable members of Parliament, let me conclude. So, once again, I would emphasise the importance of the dialogue with national parliaments, because national parliaments speak with authority and experience in all these issues, and we believe it's key to make progress. So I highly value in input and look forward to hearing your views. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Comissário. Passamos então agora às perguntas dos vários grupos parlamentares. Tem a palavra a...
So let's listen to Inês Domingues from the PST. You have 5 minutes. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. We'd like to thank you for coming here because this is essential so as to be informed and clarified on questions about the European Union. Unfortunately, I can't stay till the end of this hearing because I have other meetings, but my colleagues are here to listen to your answers that we're very interested in. And also, this is going to be recorded. So your answer will be listened afterwards. So once again, thank you very much. Thank you for your understanding. Now I'd like to start by mentioning that Greece in January approved one more austerity package. And as you know, well, Portugal, and comparing this to Portugal's situation, it's going to be the third year without any adjustment program, third year. And as you mentioned, with a cyclical situation of growth, which was quite favorable. And it's interesting for us to see that the Eurogroup president, which is the Minister of Finance of Portugal, is in Brussels praising these reforms that are allowing for Portugal to be in this positive situation, much more positive than Greece's situation. That and it's very interesting and positive for us because that a member of government recognizes the importance of these reforms, although it's only in Brussels, because in Portugal we still continue on not seeing how these reforms were positive. We don't see it. Commissioner, however, we're concerned with the fact you mentioned it's the provision of the European Commission for Portugal for growth, what you've mentioned being of a deceleration, slowing down in 2018 and 2019 for 2% and 1.9%. This puts us in a position that we're going to diverge from the European Union, so it's very concerning. Although it's positive that that our Minister of Finance, President of Eurogroup, values the reforms made by the previous government, but it's very worrisome that they never talk or implement a reform to prevent that this slowing down happens and to prevent that we go back to not following what has been said in the European Union. In your opinion, what are the reforms that have most contributed to the recovery that occurred until last year? And especially, more importantly, at the moment, what are the necessary reforms to prevent the slowing down that the Commission is forcing and to prevent these differences? And a specific question on reforms. You spoke about a problem in the labor market. You didn't mention which problems. And I'd like to know the European Commission's, what are these problems? And if there is, or a comparison with the Portuguese scheme or other countries with a higher employment rate, and what are the differences that justify these difficulties that the commissionary you referred to on the labor market? And also, we'd like to mention something else. We've seen with some concern that some big countries, and speaking about the banking union that you also mentioned, that there's a concern that these big countries are trying to let fall its deposit guarantees, not enhancing this. And this is fundamental because it ensures balance and the efficiency of a banking union. And without that element for us, the banking union will not be that efficient, and even in relation to some aspects, can be a bit like making more difficult the country's economic stability. So how do you see the situation? I'd like to hear your opinion. And also, since I still have a little bit more time, could you speak to us about on the reforms that the commissioner you mentioned speak about regarding the monetary union, spoke about in particular There's a paper from the European Commission on the monetary union's reform, and that were in part inspired by the proposal of the previous Portuguese Prime Minister. And we've seen very favorably to these proposals, we've seen them favorably because the PSD considers that this should be the reform of the EU monetary union. So what we'd like to ask you at this moment and after these many initiatives launched and food for thought by the European Commission, and in our perspective, maybe a bit too late, because our previous Prime Minister had thought of this 2 years before in 2015. The European Commission disseminated this reflection in 2017. So I would like to know, in your opinion, what is the state of the art of that debate on these reforms? Thank you very much, Commissioner. Thank you. Margarida Marques from the PS. Thank you very much, Chairwoman. I would like to welcome the Vice President Dombrovski. I'd like to welcome you to visiting our Parliament. And let me remind you that the Vice President knows very well our country. You know it very well. You come here quite often to Portugal, and you've been monitoring very closely the evolution of our economic financial situation in Portugal. And also, sometimes you've made statements on Portugal whose impact was not very positive for our country, because the European Commission, when it speaks, is heard by the financial market. And some assertions that the Vice President made at some moment did not help us out. This is good to be said because the situation is a different one. And also, we suppose that statements made by you will be different. Now, I'm not going to speak about the situation in Portugal, because the Vice President met our Minister Centeno. You know the evolution of our economic situation in Portugal. And you also have Minister Centeno as President of the Eurogroup. And it's a recognition of the positive evolution of what was done in Portugal. And also, let me remind you that clearly the policy of this government in terms of fiscal compact and in terms of convergence is significantly different than the policy of the previous government. And indeed, we were able to reach in a defined timeline the objectives. We were able to achieve the objectives that were compulsory for Portugal. And let me remind you that Portugal, and this was decisive for the functioning of the system, and this government made the reform of the financial system and stabilized the financial system, which is decisive for the functioning of the economy. Now, the Vice President is you're in charge of the Euro and social dialogue, and I'd like to go into the Euro and social dialogue. Now, concerning the Euro, specifically to the MEU's behavior, something which is very important to the Portuguese, the Prime Minister said he would only sign a Roma Declaration or a statement if it was enshrined in that statement a monetary economic union behavior. Now, the instruments you've referred to are essential to complete that union, from the banking union to the European mechanism protecting investment. But concerning the transformation of the economic stability mechanism in European fund, and I believe that I have the support, I have your support, it's essential that this transformation does not remove or undervalues, decreases the competency of the European Union regarding the coordination of the economic policies. It's something that we are monitoring very closely, and we are concerned. That is, that the European Fund can be, in its transformation process, can be a new fiscal compact for the European Monetary Fund. This is not what we seek. We want the Commission to maintain the competencies given by the treaty in terms of economic coordination. Now, regarding the European semester, now I would like to, first of all, and the Vice President also reminded us about the calendar of the European semester, there's an aspect that I'd like to point out, which is ownership. And I believe in the country reports, I believe it's fundamental for the member states to have a greater ownership in preparing recommendations. Last year, the Commission sent to the member states and the member states, to use a Portuguese expression, they only have a dozens of days just to respond to it. We need a more open dialogue between the Commission and member states when preparing recommendations. Now, also, as to the European semester, recently in November, the heads of states and government signed the proclamation, the Gothenburg Proclamation, where they created a European pillar of social rights. And it's not by chance that at this hearing, this is a joint hearing with the European Affairs and Social Affairs. It's a joint committee. And for us, the adoption of this European pillar is essential. And the question I'd like to ask is the following. What do you think that this exercise will be developed like? So, our position is that the development of the European social pillar be done within the scope of the European semester, that is to have a European semester framework, then more than creating a new mechanism. I'd like to know your position on what I've just asked you. Thank you. Isabel Pires, Bloco de Esquerda. Thank you very much. I'd like to greet Commissioner Dombrovski, and thank you for the information given. And I'd like to mention three points which relate to, above all, to Portugal's situation, because this is our role here as members of Parliament. First of all, let me make a remark concerning a debate which has existed not only in our Parliament, but I believe at other levels, on Portugal's situation regarding the economic growth of Portugal. And indeed, what has been seen is that this growth happens when measures are made, policies are implemented, unlike what had been followed during the Troika period, and unlike what has been the recommendations of the European Commission. And on the 28th of February, the commissioner, you spoke on the need to the Expresso newspaper to strengthen the resilience of the economic monetary union, to strengthen, create the structural reforms in member states. And what was on the table was to create a mechanism of commitments, reform commitments, commitment for these reforms, and there would be there'd be co-financing to implement these same reforms. Now, the last opinion that the European Commission gave to Portugal was in the labor area to liberalize even more the labor code in Portugal. So I'd like to ask you, in what way is this linked to a pillar that was mentioned, the European pillar of social rights, that indeed it goes... it's contrary to its objective in the labor area, in the labor context, and if it's to give financial supports to liberalize more the labor market, so I don't think the European Commission should make these proposals because they're not good for our country. And what we've seen is that we need to revert in the labor sector, that it's the liberalization of the labor code. If not, what we still see today is that there is job increase, but it not only does it concern us, but it concerns other European levels. The quality of jobs, type of contracts, and we said this to you, Commissioner, as well as others, the European Union, the different European countries cannot move towards working contracts for youth without any security. And so these proposals go along these lines, therefore, so it's important to understand what is the objective, European Commission objective, when it says that we need structural reforms. But once again, this does not really help our countries, nor the workers, and above all, does not help the young people in our country. And I also believe in other countries, it's similar. Second of all, now what we've seen, and It's stated that we're going to have a slower growth. We're going to slow less than what we've been growing. And what prevents us from growing more relates to a type of European obsession. And in our country, this is what we have as well, of going beyond the deficit rules. And we've been going beyond what has been asked, required regarding deficit. This harms us. The public investment, social issues, that is, in terms of this option, this is an obsession once again, and there's no other word, because indeed we could allocate amounts for more important issues and at the same time reduce the deficit, and this is not what we're doing. So to understand from the commissioner, from your side, is there some debate, a proposal to finally look at this issue and relieve some countries on that matter? Last of all, touching upon the priorities for the next financial framework, there is an obvious question that has to be raised. And it relates to this question, relates to a type of dichotomy. On one hand, what is being said, the priorities, what could be the priorities for the next financial framework, like social area and others. But then, the only area with some robustness, with a concrete proposal, has to do with militarization defense. So there's a dichotomy which makes no sense, because it is said, and in many forms it has been said, that we're not going to jeopardize questions like cohesion or structural funds, but indeed what we see, what is really cemented, is the defense sector. We'd like to know your opinion about what I've just said. Thank you.
Ana Carueta Correia, do CDS.
Filipa Correia from CDS. Flip. Thank you, everyone. I'd like to greet Vice President Dubrovskis. This is your third time coming to Parliament, I believe. I'd like to greet everyone. And start by saying, Vice President, it's quite a pleasure for us to have you with us. It's been normal that this hearing occurs and then is preceded by the dissemination of country reports for the ongoing year. And I believe it was not possible, and I regret this fact, because in a certain way, it's a very important element, analysis element for this debate. Notwithstanding, Vice President, and you've referred to some elements that you already have, as CDS-PP party, we'd like to enhance the tendency, which is positive, but also alerting to the risks and challenges you've mentioned, Commissioner, that is the observation of an economic growth which is slowing down in Portugal, predictability, confirming the data. Speaking of a slowing down corresponding to 30% when we compare the growth for 2017, 2.7, which had been foreseen in 2019, 1.9, it would mean a slowing down of 30%. And of course, it's something, this aspect has been observed with some concern and with the importance of assessing up to what extent these policies are able to address this reality. And the Vice President, you spoke about how important investment is, and of course there's quite a lot to discuss. What type of investment is necessary, private, public, and it can it be a driver of growth? Because in the past we had situations which were, there was a very big growth, and indeed we saw that there was a certain slowing down concerning the growth. Now, regarding what you've mentioned, we'd like to refer to the Economic Monetary Union. And We welcome the quality ambition additional report on the white paper on the future of this dossier. We welcome it. It meets, and this is the Commission's responsibility as well as Moscovici, but it also meets what the CDSP had defended in 2015. But we regret, however, we regret that there's been a certain slowness, We compared what has been the pace of acceleration like of other dossiers like defense and others. So we've seen that indeed it's been a process, notwithstanding the fact that it's important, it's clearly at another level of pace which would be imposed. So what are the expectations of the Commission to regarding the mechanisms guaranteeing deposits? What are your expectations concerning the Economic Monetary Union? I'm asking, do you think it's possible to implement it already in 2018? And also, how does the Commission want to accelerate this union of capital markets concerning the financing sources of our economy? Other questions that you addressed, and although lightly, has to do with the multi-annual framework, financial framework. We've been following this process. We've already submitted a resolution, which is the CDSPP's contribution at a national level as well. But there's a question we'd like to raise, and it relates to how. What does the Commission think on how it can reduce at minimum the loss of the United Kingdom extinction of the Union, such as defense and migration in particular? I'd like to ask you, Vice President, if the Commission will monitor or not the European Parliament's proposal for the next multi-annual financial framework corresponds to 1.3% of the income, of the revenue. So I believe that this clarification would be extremely important if you could say something more about it. And last question relates to growth and evolution, favorable evolution, but still at relevant thresholds. The employment, youth employment, I attended a meeting with the where I heard the Caritas report. Youth employment is decreasing, but it's still very high, and it's very important to us to know what you think about youth employment, which relates to social issues.
The Partido Comunista Português.
Paula Sanches.
Muito obrigada, Senhora Presidente.
Thank you very much. I'd like to greet the Commissioner, and I'd like to say that when we take a look at the set of economic indicators regarding our country and the evolution, positive evolution recorded in the last period, this results from those options which have been adopted, for which we have contributed with the with rights, that is, putting back salaries, minimum wage, and strengthening social contribution. So we can conclude that this result related to these options are they're contrary to that of the European Union's for Portugal. We all remember what were the European Union's position during the Troika period, and what was important was to cut salaries, de-investment, attacking worker rights, and so on. It had unemployment, it had a negative effect regarding our workers, Portuguese population, and economic development. So if there's this evolution, the conclusion drawn is due to it did not meet the impoverishment options, exploitation that our European Union wants for our country. When the Commissioner refers to the need to advance with structural reforms, what structural reforms? Because what we saw in the past brought inequality, poverty, and it was a greater type of exploitations of our workers, labor legislation, removing rights to workers, unemployment, precariousness, and instability. Now, reforms. It's what the Portuguese rejected, but on a continuous way, the European Union, what it seeks is to go back to that path that the Portuguese rejected during the last elections. You spoke about investment. Investment is essential. It's a key priority, and we defend it. And we discussed this in Parliament, and we believe it's necessary to invest more. Invest in the productive fabric, public services, invest in health, education, scientific and technological development. Now, what is preventing investment and the development of our country are the impositions from the European Union. I'm speaking about the Stability Pact, the Economic Monetary Union, economic governance, that is, the set of instruments, the limitation that the European Union imposes to the member states, and do not allow to channel public means for that same investment. Commissioner, if there wasn't this obsession concerning debt, deficit, compliance of several impositions without rationality, any point of view, then it's surely enough we would have in our country, in Portugal, we would have public resources to invest. We surely enough would be able to ensure development with these public resources. I'd also like to refer to the Economic Monetary Union and the objective of deepening it, following one path which has been, in my opinion, pursued by several EU institutions, that is, remove more sovereignty parts from member states and concentrating decision-making centers. We reject that path. The introduction is responsible, the Economic Monetary Union is responsible for this, for these differences regarding other member states. And what should be an instrument, what has been emphasized, and an instrument to be used for that redistribution function and to mitigate, eliminate these differences between member states, the European Union's budget funds used, community funds have been weakening and haven't achieved the objectives that the European institution defined. What you, Commissioner, referred to, priorities. What's on top of the table is a global decrease of sums concerning European attributed to cohesion, economic cohesion, economic and social cohesion. The funds are being more and more used according to the priorities of the European Union and not according to the interests of each country. So there's also this path that is of directing the greatest part of funds in terms of such. Any instrument of the European social rights pillar, this instrument has been supporting these options through economic governance option of the Economic Monetary Union. When we look at the measures concerning this pillar, there's no measure increasing salaries, no measure fighting precariousness, collective bargaining. So as to try to change what are the main problems felt by the workers and peoples, and the European Union does not respond to these issues. Thank you. Vice President, you have 15 minutes to answer these many questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Honourable Members. Lots of questions had been asked, so I probably will respond to them in three main blocks. First, issues related to European semester in Portugal, so Portuguese economic and fiscal developments. Second, questions related to deepening of EMU. And third, there were quite a few questions related to next multi-annual financial framework. Well, it's not a subject of today's hearing, but nevertheless, I will try to respond to the extent possible. First of all, on the economic performance. Currently, indeed, we are seeing a cyclical upswing of the European and also Portuguese economy, which is a positive development and which is reflected in all the macroeconomic indicators we just have been discussing. In terms of this economic development and the role of structural reforms in this development, well, the European Commission's assessment is actually that reforms pay, that those countries which implement ambitious structural reforms agenda are the ones which are returning to growth faster. It was a case with Baltic states initially, it was a case of Ireland, it was a case of Spain, and it's a case what we see also in Portugal. So it's important that the bottlenecks to the economic performance of economy are addressed and economy can prosper. So the question was asked, so what are the key challenges which we are still seeing in Portugal? And I would say those are reflected in our country-specific recommendations. We have four country-specific recommendations addressed to Portugal. First one is a fiscal recommendation, so to continue with adjustment towards medium-term budgetary objective, using windfall gains to reduce debt-to-GDP ratio, because indeed something which I had been saying before and something which has to be said, that Portugal still has one of the highest debt-to-GDP ratio in the EU, actually third highest after Greece and Italy. So it's important to put this debt-to-GDP ratio on downwards trajectory to have some fiscal room of maneuver when cyclical conditions in the economy will change. And on the positive, we finally indeed see that debt-to-GDP ratio is starting to decrease in Portugal. Second recommendation was related to the questions number of colleagues asked is on labour markets, so I will be just quoting exactly what we recommend. Promote hiring on open-ended contracts, including by reviewing legal framework. So, of course, our aim is to ensure that there are more open-ended contracts in the economy and that we also see the very high share of temporary contracts as a cause of concern, and that's why we are recommending to address the issues, obstacles which prevent companies from hiring on open-ended contracts and actually promote this avenue. And in terms of unemployment, we especially emphasize activation of long-term unemployment in our country-specific recommendation. But, of course, issue which was raised on youth unemployment remains equally important. So there, also from EU side, we intend to pursue with youth employment initiative, youth guarantee, skills agenda to ensure that we can ensure employment or education or training opportunities to young people. Third challenge which we note is the financial sector, something I also mentioned. So our third country-specific recommendation is on cleaning up the balance sheet of banks and to address the issue of non-performing loans. And also there I outlined that we see that progress is being made and non-performing loans ratio is decreasing. And fourth is indeed to address obstacles to investment, reduce administrative burden, tackle regulatory barriers in construction and business services. Also increase efficiency of insolvency and tax proceedings. So those are the issues which we see, which we recommend Portugal to address. As I said, our overall assessment is that there is some progress in addressing those recommendations, and we will come with a new set of recommendations in our May European semester cycle. To come back to the labor market reforms, a question which was raised, I just would like to highlight some of the initiatives which we'll be having also in context of implementation of a social pillar. So it concerns social protection for all and adjustment of the written statement directive. So the first initiative is to ensure that at European level, ensure that there is social protection for people which have for people which have different contracts, because labor market has evolved. You have temporary contracts, you have sharing economy, you have atypical employment, you have self-employment, sometimes also bogus self-employment. So it's important to ensure that people working on those different employment contracts all have access, contribute, and have access to the social security. And second, on predictable working conditions, so we will propose also amendments to the written statement directive, ensuring that workers receive written information on their rights and obligations so that they have clear information what are their employment conditions. So that's maybe to emphasize the labor market reforms which we are proposing. Then on the second block of questions which was raised on deepening of EMU, indeed there are some questions raised on a pace of this work. Well, it must be said we can proceed as fast as we can build consensus or broad agreement among member states. And indeed, the debate on deepening of EMU is not new. Some colleagues were referring to 2015. I can refer to 2012, when there was so-called Four Presidents Report and Commission's communication on deep and genuine EMU. In 2015, we had what we call Five Presidents Report on deepening of EMU. Last year, we had a reflection paper, our December package. But what I would say is that gradually we indeed are moving from those discussions to concrete decisions, and that's why I emphasize that those next months will be quite critical in this regard, that by June summit we hope to arrive at some agreements and conclusions. So questions were asked, what exactly we expect, what progress we can make on different dossiers. So on banking union, we believe it's possible to reach an agreement on a common backstop for a single resolution fund, and we hope that on the basis of this more gradual approach, which we had proposed on European Deposit Insurance Scheme, starting with liquidity support and deciding on addressing legacy issues before moving to risk mutualization or loss mutualization, that based on this approach we can also reach agreement, hopefully by June. On other elements, propose to continue support for structural reforms in member states. There are several instruments. Let me explain them, because there were some points raised. So first, on short term, we propose to increase the size of the structural reform support program, where member states can apply to this program to receive technical assistance in reform design and implementation. And we see that demand is very big. This year demand exceeded the available means by some 5 times, and there were requests for more than 20 member states, so we obviously see that there is a demand for the structural reform support program and that we can increase it. Second, we propose amendments to the Commons Provision Regulation allowing to use member states to use also so-called performance reserve of European structural and investment funds or cohesion funds for structural reform implementation. And in post-2020 perspective, indeed we propose this reform delivery tool, which is once again a demand-driven mechanism where member states can enter commitments with member states, but they are not forced to do so, and receive financial support for implementing certain reforms. So this is the idea on reform delivery tool, and also we'll come with a concrete proposal on euro area fiscal stabilization function in form of European Investment Protection Scheme, allowing to maintain the level of investment for countries hit by large asymmetric economic shocks. It's primarily financial instrument, but can be accompanied also by limited grants component. To ensure that this deepening of EMU process is open and transparent to all EU member states, we also propose dedicated convergence facility support to those member states which work towards euro adoption, so that they are ready to join the Eurozone and can prosper once inside. So those are the main elements which we have in our deepening of EMU agenda. Then a number of questions were raised on next MFF and MFF priorities. So first of all, indeed we expect difficult negotiations because, let's be realistic, Brexit leaves a hole in EU budget. And we will need to close this hole both by reassessing existing programs and by increasing the size of EU budget. So the formula which we currently are using in European Commission is the size of next MFF of 1.1x, x to be determined, of EU's GNI. To remind, current EU's GNI is 1%, so we think we should go above this, not least because of Brexit. But we also think that there are limits how far we can go. Indeed, there are demands from European Parliament for a number of stakeholders to go further, to have a more ambitious proposal. But at the same time, there are demands from a number of member states which say, oh, we want to stick with 1%. So we need to find this balance clear, which is not only ambitious but also realistic. Then on priorities. Of course, cohesion and common agricultural policy will continue to play an important role in EU budget. That has to be said. Then as regards new priorities, first and foremost it's research and innovation. So we propose to substantially increase size of the programs like Horizon, like Erasmus Plus, like other programs. It's migration, both in terms of border security and in terms of integration. And indeed, taking into account current geopolitical developments, it's defense and security. So those are the priorities which are discussed for next MFF, but of course it's not limited to that. There are other policy areas which we also will try to prioritize. But as I said, discussions will be difficult because if we propose to increase the size of the budget, it means either more contributions from member states or new own resources, and I hope we'll be able to make progress on this, that not only we just raise contributions for member states, but we move towards more genuine own resources system, also to address this eternal discussion of net balances, net payers, net contributors. If we have more genuine own resources system, we can, to the extent, address this this issue. So, honourable members of Parliament, once again, thank you very much for this hearing, for your engagement and interest on those European issues, and I look forward for future cooperation.
Thank you very much, Vice President of the European Commission. Thank you very much for this very interesting and very useful hearing. Although it was a short hearing, it was very productive. And I'd like to thank the COFNA, Labour Committee, Social Security, and Eventual Committee for the Future Financial Multiannual Financial Framework. And I wish everyone a good day. Meanwhile, we have a gift for you, a symbolical gift of our Parliament.
Senhor Vice-Presidente, é uma peça de porcelana, não se importa, simbólica. Muito obrigada, bom regresso. Thank you very much once again. Have a nice trip. Okay, guys. Okay.